Hey, everybody, it's Kai. Thanks for listening to this Corner Office podcast. A brand new episode for you today. This time, what the retail of the future might look like, men's retail specifically, clothing. I'm talking with a guy who thinks about that a lot. His name is Colin Hunter. He's the CEO and co-founder of a company called Alton Lane. It's a tailoring company for men that mixes a little bit of the old school with a little bit of the new.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Colin Hunter, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Give me the elevator pitch for this thing, would you?
Yeah, so we are an upscale menswear brand that is all about making shopping less painful for men.
I'm in, right there, I'm in.
Perfect.
Tell me, though, why you felt you needed to do this. I mean, give me the business model, give me the, you know, your advantage in the marketplace, if you will, and then tell me why.
Yeah, you know, it's really quite simple. When we looked out at the menswear space, we saw this multi-billion-dollar global industry that wasn't taking into account this basic truth that we all know, that most men hate to shop, but every guy still wants to look good.
Hmm.
And so we said, let's actually break down the industry and build it back up the way that makes sense for the consumer and doesn't necessarily make sense for the fashion industry. So all of our stores are private one-on-one appointments. You have a dedicated style expert working with you. And then we have some really cool technology. We utilize 3D body scanning technology to capture over 300 measurements in about 30 seconds. And what that does is it allows our tailors around the world to actually see your body when they're creating your garments. And it delivers a better fit than what you might find somewhere else.
All right. So there was a lot in there. Let's break it down. First of all, what are the not differentiators, but what elements did you break it down into? That's the question, right? You say you broke it down. What are the things you spotlighted that you said we can do better in this space?
First, we looked at kind of how inventory is handled in the market. And we cut open custom Italian suits. We looked at all the components. And we said, how can we recreate this for much lower cost for the customer? And the big key there was inventory. Hmm. Most fashion brands have to invest in a lot of inventory, and they're making those guesses 6 to 9 months out for the next season.
Hmm.
And what we did is we said, let's partner with some of the best fabric mills in the world and tap into their inventory. And so we don't have that on our balance sheet, but we are able to provide our customers with much greater access. We offer over 3,000 fabrics. And then we order that fabric the very next day. So product is the first one. I think the second one is experience. We really tried to recreate the shopping experience to make it not feel like shopping. And that's everything from that full bar where you can have a glass of bourbon or wine or a beer, flat screen TVs all over the showroom showing whatever football or basketball game or baseball game is on. And then even down to the couches we use and the lighting we use. We want all of our spaces to feel more residential than commercial.
All right. Well, so let me interrupt you, right? Because there's once again, there's a lot in there, and clearly you've thought this through. But there are two things I want to bring up. One is, and I can't be the first guy to say this to you, it sounds a little bro-y and man-cave-y.
I think it doesn't when you go into our space.
All right.
You know, all the components that I'm talking about, good lighting, great drinks. You could expect that in a bar. You could expect that at a super high-end hotel.
What you're offering here then clearly is a high-end product.
It is a high-end product, but we start at accessible price points, and that was really important to us. Our custom shirts start at $99. Our custom suits start at $600. With that said, we never want customers to have to graduate from our brand. And so you can get a suit that's $10,000 from us. We have fabrics with crushed gold blasted into the wool as it's being woven. It's not a cheap product.
Got it.
We view it as an investment.
Fair enough. I'm a public radio guy, and $600 sounds like, you know, it sounds like a lot for a suit, but I wear, you know, khakis and a t-shirt to work every day.
Sure.
So maybe I should come see you guys. All right. So let me pick it up. Let me pick up the thread of the larger business enterprise here. You've mentioned global and tailors around the world, which seems to suggest to me that you are reliant on a supply chain that you're not entirely in control of, especially now when trade and tariffs seem to be the macroeconomic news of the day.
We really try to protect our supply chain from any geopolitical risk. And so we have intentionally built a supply chain in multiple different countries and on different continents so that we are protected in case something happens in one place. And because we're not holding inventory, Within 24 hours, I can shift production of a customer's garment from one factory to another factory in the opposite side of the world.
What was it that you saw in the higher end-ish men's clothing space when you started this company that you said, you know what, I can fix that. I can do that better. This needs disruption.
Three things. The first being inventory, which we've discussed. I think the second was a dying retail strategy. Large brick and mortar spaces present a tremendous amount of risk for brands. And it's also not necessarily in the customer's best interest. It doesn't feel as comfortable and welcoming and intimate. And so we really tried to create much smaller showrooms that feel more private, that feel more residential. And the third is the staffing model. The status quo in the industry was really to focus on kind of staffing for general foot traffic. And that's ultimately going to marginalize the customer, or it's going to hurt the efficiency of the business. And because we have a predictive revenue model, we know when people are coming in. You book private appointments online in advance. We know exactly when we need to staff and how much we need to staff. And so we have far greater efficiency, and we're able to pass that cost savings back to the customer.
Who is your competition? Are we talking, we're not talking like Men's Warehouse and Joseph A. Bank, right? Are we talking Barney's and Lord & Taylor and that end? What are we talking here?
You know, it's interesting. I think because of the breadth of our fabric offering, you know, going from $600 to $10,000 on a suit, we are competing against everyone in that space, you know. And so on the low end, we might be competing with J. Crew, Brooks Brothers. On the higher end, Zegna, Brioni, Keaton, Savile Row. And we really see that wide breadth of customers.
Once you get me scanned and whatever in that booth, and then you have my orders, and in theory you know where I work and I live because you're going to mail it to me, it occurs to me you have a whole lot of data about me.
That's right.
How worried ought I be?
Not worried at all in terms of privacy. We take the privacy of our clients very seriously. We view data as a mechanism to improve the customer experience. And, you know, when you think about possibly your own experience, or certainly from my experience in retail with other shops, I might shop at a store like J. Crew 18 times over the past few years, you know, picking up things here or there. Every time I walk into that store, it's as if I'm a brand new customer and they don't remember anything about me. And that ultimately is not a fantastic experience. So for us, we want to use that data, not just your measurements and your style preferences, but your demographic data. Do you travel for work all the time? And therefore, let's really show you fabrics that don't wrinkle. Do you work in an environment where you're outside all the time? Well, let's maybe give you a deconstructed jacket or a half-line jacket to make you more comfortable. And by remembering some of that those data points, in addition to, you know, what your favorite drink is, if we've had customers show up in a different showroom. They ordered from us in Chicago and then show up in New York, and we're able to have their favorite drink waiting when they walk into that different city for the very first time. And I think that that's really neat from a customer experience point of view.
On that issue of different cities and scale, you're at what now? 13-ish, 15-ish locations, right?
That's right. We have 13 and a half showrooms.
And a half? What's the half, man?
We've got a mobile showroom that's a custom-built 28-foot Airstream that we take around the country to conventions and private events and at times even customers' front yards.
Gotcha. You want to get from 13 and a half to what in what period of time?
The period of time is interesting, and that's something that we're constantly evaluating. It's really important to us that we grow every part of our business consistently so we can always maintain the customer experience and the quality of that experience in the garment as we scale. Every 6 months, we take a look at our company at a board level and say, do we need to pause for 6 months or do we need to keep opening? With that said, I think there's the opportunity to have 200 to 300 stores in the U.S., and we also have our sights set globally as well.
Is this a retail clothing company or is it a technology company?
I view us more as an experience company that's powered by data and technology and that happens to sell clothing. I think ultimately when we create a great experience for our customers and with our more relational approach to business instead of the traditional transactional approach, we're able to generate much greater customer loyalty. And with that loyalty, you know, comes a deeper long-term relationship and ultimately a greater customer lifetime value. And when you think about the implications there and what we can do with our data and technology to empower much greater, more personalized service, it doesn't have to stop at clothing. We've made recommendations for honeymoons, for trips, for restaurants, and we're even able to kind of see different trends of like-for-like customers within a city, within different neighborhoods, across various cities. There's some really interesting things that we can do down the road.
So I'm right. That data is a powerful thing.
Absolutely.
Colin Hunter, he's the CEO and co-founder of a technology and clothing and experiential company called Alton Lane. Colin, thanks a lot for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for listening. That was my conversation with Colin Hunter, CEO and co-founder of Alton Lane. If you thought it was interesting or good, or if you learned something, or if you just liked it, let us know. Would you by rating us in Apple Podcasts or leaving us a review? Share the episode with some friends. That works too. The Corner Office Podcast is produced by Bridget Bodner. This episode was produced by Sean McHenry. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the Executive Director of On Demand. Deborah Clark is the Senior Vice President and General Manager. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Another episode for you in a couple of weeks.